The second commandment, we are to worship him correctly. And that's verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So we have, we're to worship the Lord only. We're to worship him correctly. The third commandment, we're to worship him sincerely. Verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So today, we're going to look at the fourth commandment. And it talks about how we are to worship the Lord regularly. Regularly. In fact, it is the longest of the Ten Commandments. It has 39 words in it. Wow. And it deals with one simple concept. We are to take a day off. We're to take a day off. In fact, God has more to say about taking a day off than he does about murder or adultery or stealing. So I guess, how did that get into God's top 10? I mean, where did that come from? I mean, the Lord has given us 10 unbelievably important instructions about how we're to live our lives. And he considers this in the top 10. In fact, all of these 10 commandments were so important that God wrote them actually on stone and gave them to Moses to give to the children of Israel. And that's the pronouncement that he makes in this fourth commandment. Take a day off. And then he adds one additional statement in there, and it says, we're to use that day to recharge our spiritual batteries. That's what we're there for. So let's face it, to keep this commandment, you literally have to go against our culture completely. We really do. Because Sunday, for lots of people, is fun day. It's not Sunday. And to take a day off just to devote time to God, to think about God, seems a lot of people just plain ridiculous. Listen to what Bill Gates said when someone asked him, he just said he doesn't believe in God. And they asked him why. And he said, well, just in terms of allocation of time resources, religion is not very efficient. There is a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. That's the thought process. Well, let me ask you a question then. Has technology really done that for us? I mean, the fact that we've been given so many devices that supposedly save time, right? The computer, the calculator, the cell phone. So why do we have so little time for the things that really matter? All this technology has done really is added speed and noise. That's it. It hasn't done anything else. And as a family, the family of God, God has given us a special day. And if we use it properly and enjoy it the way it should be, it could be one of the finest things we could ever do. We have so degraded this day. Do you realize that before God ever gave the state or the church or the home, that the first institution he gave was the Sabbath? Remember back in Genesis chapter 2? He rested on the seventh day, from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, set it apart, because in it he rested from all of his work which he had made and he had created. So God wants us to take a day off. Everybody in here, since today's Super Bowl Sunday, I mean, we're going to, if you're watching TV, or I'm sure you've seen it, you all know what this means? In sports? Timeout, right? Isn't that the way it works, timeout? You see it all the time. Football has quarters, and you have timeouts. In tennis, you have rest between the games. In baseball, there's rest between the innings. In hockey, there's what's called rest periods between the three periods. In fishing, there's a long period of rest. It's called fishing. Yeah, that's what it's coming. You know, you just sit there. Anyway, I digress. You know what? When God took a day off, it wasn't because he was tired, right? He was introducing a maintenance plan for the human race. He was showing us how to do it right. In fact, he was so serious about it, he made himself the example. He took the seventh day off. Took it off. In fact, that word Sabbath literally means rest. Rest. So there are three parts to every one of us. You may think you have more than that, but you really only have three parts. You have the mental part, you have the physical part, and you have the spiritual part. Mind, will, emotions, those kinds of things. And every 7 days, we need to get our mental and our physical and our spiritual batteries recharged. Because God made us so that if we don't recharge, we're going to run down. Have you ever had that experience? Where you've gone and you've gone and you've gone and you've gone and you can't go anymore. And you spend the entire day in bed. Been there, done that, I have. So God has so designed us that if we don't take care of our mental and physical and spiritual being, ourselves, our batteries are going to run down. So, how do we obey this commandment? It's a dicey one. Well, here's number one. With our mind, we are to remember the Lord's day. Verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And God's telling us we all need a mental break. We all need a break. Once a week, take a break from what we're doing the other 6 days. And that day, we need to remember that what God's done for us every day of the week. Back in Exodus chapter 16, if you're in Exodus 20, right? Everybody, nod your head. Yeah, okay. Turn back to Exodus 16. That's just a few pages left. Exodus chapter 16. See, the nation of Israel had already heard about the Sabbath. And here it is in Exodus 16. Beginning in verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. You can hear them moaning and groaning right away. When we sat by the pots of meat and where we ate the bread to the full. For you have brought us out here into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. You see, Israel complained. God wasn't doing his part to get them to the promised land. And here we are starving in the wilderness. We should just go back to where we were. So what does God do? He provides food for the nation of Israel. Look at verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So every day God would send bread from heaven in the morning, and at night, it's even amazing that he'd send quail at night. Now, they didn't have to catch the quail. They didn't have to bake the bread. You know, that word manna means, what is it? You know, it's coming from, what is this? That's what they call it, manna, food from heaven. But on that day, they were to gather just, from every day, gather just enough for the day. That's all they were supposed to do. And on the day before the Sabbath, they were told to collect for 2 days. Well, when the manna started coming, some of the people got the idea, you know what, if we gather a whole bunch of it, we'll have more. See? So they gathered much more, 2-3 days worth of stuff. And they ate, and they went to sleep, and when they got up the next morning, what they hadn't eaten was rotten. Lesson learned, right? lesson learned. Talk about a revelation. To these people, when he said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. I mean, They had just come out of Egypt. Remember, they were slaves. There were no holidays. There were no vacations. You didn't have weekends off. You couldn't have a coffee break. None of those things. And God had to teach them literally to take a day off. And the reason was, when you take that day off, you devote it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. You show God in that day that you really trust Him all the time for everything. Even today, God gives us all that we need in 6 days so that we really don't have to work on Sunday. Now, I know that boggles people's mind when they hear that. They say, well, you don't know my schedule. I don't have to know your schedule. I really don't. I'm just saying what the Word of God says. And it also says we're not to remember it occasionally. It's every week, folks. Every 7 days, we're to remember the Lord. We're to set that time aside to worship the Lord. And remembering involves more than just memory. When you remember something, you're putting your heart and your soul into something when you want to remember it. I mean, remembering the Sabbath is like remembering your anniversary. Really, it is. Now, if Rochelle was to come up to me on March the 29th, and she was to say, March 29th. And she was to say to me, honey, do you know what today is? And I go, yeah, to 29th, that's our anniversary. But there was no card. There was no dinner. There was no flowers. There were no gifts. There was nothing. Well, it would be a special anniversary, I can tell you that. It'd probably be the last special anniversary. It'd probably be the last anniversary. You know, when you remember, it means you put your heart into it. You put your soul into it. It means you show your love for God on that day in a very special way. Now, we love God every day. Amen? We do. But the Sabbath, the day of rest, is that special time that we share with the Lord. Because we need this day mentally, and we also need it emotionally. Just get away. Today we are in a society that experience mental and emotional stress, and it comes from schedules that we have that are so packed. We see too many people. There are too many demands. There's too many phone calls. There's too many emails. There's too much Facebook. On and on and on it goes. We need to take a break. So number one, with our mind, we need to remember the Lord's day. And here's the second one. With our body, we are to rest on the Lord's day. We're to rest on the Lord's day. There's really something very unique about this fourth commandment because it's stated positively and negatively. So look, go back to Exodus chapter 20, back to verse 8. It begins by saying the positive requirement. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then there's the negative part. The seventh day of the Sabbath is a Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work. You shall do no work. This is the day that you close the calendar, you get off the clock, you put away your to-do list, and you just rest your body. You see, keeping this commandment is the biblical answer to workaholics who have got to work all the time, always, can't not do anything. Well, God says you got to take a day off. You got to take a day to rest. Now, if you all know something about farming, don't you? Okay, well, let me see if you don't. When farmers plant things, they don't continually plant the same thing every year in the same place. They kind of move it around. They plant corn 1 year, and then they'll turn around and plant beans the next year, because what the corn takes the nutrients out of the soil, the beans put that nutrients back in. So sometimes a farmer will let an entire tract of land lie for a year or more and not plant it. You know why? Even dirt needs rest. Even dirt needs rest. Now, I know people will say, well, yeah, but the devil doesn't take a day off. Well, that's true. He doesn't take a day off. But let me ask you, whose example you want to follow? You want to follow the devil's example? Or do you want to follow the Lord? The Lord says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was made so that we would have a time of rest. It wasn't given as a burden. It was given as a blessing. And we need to learn to take how to take a day off and worship and rest. So with our minds, we need to remember the Lord's day. With our body, we're to rest on the Lord's day. And here's the third one. With our spirit, we're to rejoice on the Lord's day. You see, the commandment opens this way. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. But the commandment ends, and the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. And remember, what's the word holy mean?
Set apart.
Set apart. It is something special for the Lord. That's holiness. Twice in that passage of Scripture, use that word holy, because it's a holy day. It's set apart from the different days of the week. You know, I guess it's one thing when people not only do not work, but they remember the Lord. They worship the Lord. You see, there's more to Sabbath than the absence of work. You got to worship. The Sabbath in the Old Testament and Sunday in the New Testament had something in common. The Lord's people gathered together for worship. That's what we have in common. The Old Testament, Israelites gathered in the tabernacle on the Sabbath. In the New Testament, because Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday, the Sabbath was changed from the last day to the first. But the purpose remains the same. Nothing's changed as far as the day of rest. It is a day to worship the Lord. You see, we need to remember in the Old Testament, the Sabbath celebrated the finished work of creation. And in the New Testament, the Lord's Day celebrates the finished work of redemption. Different. The Sabbath day celebrated the beginning of natural life, and the Lord's Day celebrates the beginning of supernatural life. The first celebrates life in Adam. Sunday celebrates life in Christ. The first Old Testament Sabbath was a display of God's power. The New Testament Lord's Day is a display of God's grace. That's how we're saved, isn't it? For by grace you've been saved. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So the Sabbath was given to Israel. The Lord's Day given to the church. And I'm so grateful for the Lord Jesus gave us a new and living way to celebrate a new and living day. Not a legal day, a loving day, a day to fellowship together. It's supposed to be a day of worship, a day we focus on God and get spiritual tuned up. Now, that doesn't mean you neglect God all week long and you come here hoping that you're going to get a charge. It's like the battery in one of our vehicles. That thing, you let it set long enough, and I went out to start it, and it went, and that was it. You don't use it, you lose it. And that other thing, remember that saying? If you don't use it, you lose it. You know, most Americans have taken Sunday, which is supposed to be a holy day, and have made it a holiday. They've made it, The problem is, if all you do is work and play, you'll start to think that that's all there is, work and play. There's a lot more to life than just work and play. I know there are some people who don't obey this command because they say, Sunday's the only day I have with my family. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Well, it's the only day I have with my family. Well, let me just say something about that. There's no better place to spend with your family on God's day than in God's house, worshiping God with God's people. What a great time of day. In fact, if Sunday's the only time you got for your family, you need to reorder your priorities if this is the only day you have for your family. What you're saying there is your family's not really that big a deal at any other time other than on Sunday. No, no. It's a big deal all the time. Why do you think David said in Psalm 122, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" Wow. David said, "I look forward to this day when I get to spend it with God and God's people." You know why? To get your spiritual batteries refurbished. Get them refreshed. There's a bringing of the family together. There's teaching what's really important in life when you set aside a day for the Lord and His worship. You see, we're remembering that every Sunday that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. So you know what? That kind of makes every Sunday an Easter Sunday, doesn't it? If we're coming in here to praise the Lord that He's alive, isn't that what Easter's all about? He broke the chains. He set us free. I mean, where else would you want to be but in church with God's people? You know, people around us should know that our worship on Sunday is more important than our work on Monday. They should know that. Think of yourself as an automobile, okay? Let's just put our sanctified imagination here. Think of us as an automobile. I prefer to think of myself as a Mercedes-Benz. Others of you, or a Kia. I'm not sure which. It's somewhere in there. But you know what? When you get into your car and you turn your ignition on, you look at your gauges, don't you? Some of us don't look at our gauges enough, because then you see the flashing light that says, no more gas. No more gas. Or you see the little gas pump flashing away. Or your seatbelt. That's the one that drives me crazy, is the seatbelt sign. Because it is incessant, isn't it? About every 6 seconds or so, it begins to ding. Anyway, you want to check all of the gauges on your automobile to see if they're functioning properly, right? Is the heat up? All of the different things that they tell you. And nowadays, cars tell you everything. Your door is ajar. I always thought a jar was a jar, but it says it's the door is ajar. I don't know what that means. Anyway, it tells you. It stops for you now. It parks for you now. Cars today do all kinds of amazing things. But if you don't check your gauges to make sure that they're functioning properly, everything is going the way it should, you're going to run into problems. So we can give ourselves a checkup, because we have three gauges too. We have the mental gauge, we have the physical gauge, and we have a spiritual gauge. So it's time. You ready? Let's check our gauges. All right? Mentally, number one, are you absolutely running on empty? Or are you charged up? Are you mentally exhausted? Or are you being refreshed? Ready to do what God wants, and to do it with a passion. To do it with a passion. That's one gauge. Here's the second gauge, physically. Are you rested? Are you fit? Are you as healthy as you can be? See, a lot of times we get so spiritually minded, we're no earthly good. And we turn around the other way and we get so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. So, you know, we got to get, I think we talked about that on Wednesday night, didn't we? And we need to be right dead in the center where everything is functioning properly. And then we come to spiritually. Are you walking with the Lord? We need to take one day a week just for the Lord. Just for the Lord, to refresh ourselves mentally, physically, spiritually, because if you do, you'll see how much more productive you can be and how much more peace there is in your life. In the midst of all the turmoil and the things going on around you, you can still have peace. Folks, we need a day of rest. We really do. We need a change in our routine. We need a mental change. We need to take a break and think about things that are really important in our lives. You know, I've preached on worry before, but we are a worried generation. And sometimes I'm worried because I don't have anything to worry about. You know, It's just the way I am. Sometimes I look for things to worry about, and we shouldn't do that. Isn't that what Jesus said? I know. Rochelle says, you do not. She doesn't think I worry about anything because I don't vocalize it. But there is a furrowed brow. There is a pensive look. There's a deep sigh. You've seen those things, haven't you, my love? Yes. We need to change mentally. We need to change physically. You need to get out of the office sometimes. You need to get out of school in the store and get into some kind of a new environment. Do something different where we can be encouraged by other people. You don't want to be a hermit. You just don't want to be a hermit. And then we need a spiritual change. We need to be in church where God's word is preached and taught, and we have fellowship with one another, and we are excited about one another. We believe with one another what God is saying in our lives, and we are excited about it. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath rest. Rest. See, Jesus is the one that not only gives your body rest and your mind rest, he gives your spirit rest. The rest of knowing that when you really do know the Lord, you're going to spend eternity with him. Jesus is the believer's rest. He is our Sabbath. He's our rest. And by the way, that's the greatest Sabbath of all, isn't it? The Lord Jesus. So the begs the question, is he your Sabbath? Is he your rest? And if he isn't, it's time for a renewal and a commitment to the Lord, recommitting yourself to being what God has called you to be. A child of his, a spokesman of his. We are Christ in this world. That's who we are. I don't think a lot of times we remember that, and we should. We are the Lord Jesus to this world. To this world. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Just before we pray, and just before we share communion together, I want you to listen. If you'd like to sing along with it, you can.